welcome everyone to the 137th edition of the Patriot Hour. This is Sir Malagan. We are live at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, January the 9th, 2011, along with my trusted friend and co-host, still buried in the igloo in Western New York. It is General Rachel, who just got her voice back, just in time.
Yes, yay! Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. That's been a tough weekend, huh? Yeah. We're going to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it Rachel and Malachi style. Okay? What does that mean?
Yeah. You know? Well, don't be surprised that she was shot, because we told you this stuff was going to happen.
I want everyone to be honest with themselves. The first, and I'm going to just be honest, because I don't lie here. I say what I say. What's the first thing you said to yourself after you heard the news? In your mind, this is what you said in the living room. Nobody else around. What's the first thing you thought of? We told
Patriot
you.
Patriot Hour.
Yeah, well, not that we want to get your comments, of course. But we told you so.
Yeah.
We told you so. This has nothing to do with right. This has nothing to do with left. This is has to do with what I wrote. This is it. It's over. Look, we have now raised an entire generation who are rudderless. They have no foundation to who they are, God, family, or country. This was a 22-year-old disturbed little puke who had no tether to anything. He had no principles. There's a sickening thing that I'm starting to see now, and I wrote this again in my blog. I said, listen, there's this hybrid happening among, quote, anarchists, particularly young men, where they merge different philosophies together and they come up with some bizarre thing out of nowhere. How do you merge Mein Kampf from the Communist Manifesto? Each, by the way, in political philosophy, hated each other's guts. Yet he did. And he went into realms unknown, and everybody's seen it and heard all the details. And he had, from what we know, a letter from this Congresswoman Giffords from 2007 in his vault, in his safe, in his home. He festered upon her. I still think it had more to do with Judge Roll than it did anything else. Oh, and there's a little update. My first instincts, Mel, are always right. Everyone said that Judge Roll was there by accident, that he had gone to church, and then he happened to see Congressman Giffords having a little chat session on the corner and decided to drop by and thank her for her support. Incorrect. My first assumption and question the whole day was, what was the judge doing there? It seems the judge told them that he would be there. He didn't go there by happenstance. This was prearranged, pre-planned. Yes, I did, Iggy. I saw the videos. The videos are just everywhere. He is psychotic. And no, he's not a kid. I understand that. But everybody under the age of 30 to me is a kid right now. Okay, so just bear with me. He's 22. He's an adult. Well, I don't know. You know something? The new 20 to me is like an age 15. Truly. I mean, they have no maturity level, do they? No.
No.
No maturity level at all.
No, I forgot the word I was going to use, but it's like I have the right to do and say whatever I want, and you can't stop me type of attitude, you know. You know, it kind of goes back to some, a lot of these laws where you can't discipline your kid.
Right. And I wrote that. I said, listen, we've gone from spanking to timeouts, from excuses. Everything's an excuse. No expectation, but yes, you can have an excuse.
Yeah. Always blame everybody else, not yourself.
Right. You just simply don't meet the requirement. We no longer have A's and F's. We have Xanaxed this nation to a point where there's no fundamental social contract anymore.
There's no winners or losers.
Right, yeah. There's no, and then, of course, right away, and we're going to get to the left, trust me, I got a lot to say on that. But right away, they go to a point where, he was reading Ayn Rand. Well, so do I. I grew up reading her. I adore her. Not everything she says. But for the most part, yes, I do believe in her philosophy of life. So, I also believe in a social contract. How many times have I said that the trust of the government has been broken? I do not trust the United States government. That does not mean I'm going to pick up my Glock and go shoot my congressman. You morons, you. Because I come from a place of a social moray. I have a moray, unspoken bond. It goes back to the founders. They made a promise through the Constitution. We shook hands that day, even though we weren't born. And we trust in that, and we go by the laws of that. We work within the realms of that. I do want revolution. I want these politicians out in a revolution, in a turning of time, of political representation. I do not want the form of my government changed. What we're starting to see with this younger, absolutely crazy generation. It's just what Louis said. They have no mores. It's like Louis just said, I want it now. Instant application, instant gratification, instant messaging. I don't care what you want. It's not how we work. Sure, we want capitalism. We want us to be able to do our best and to excel. That's what I wrote now. We've gone from excelling to excuses. No.
Yeah, exactly.
We want to do our best. We want to excel. And you know what? By us excelling in our political philosophies, we bring everybody with us. It makes our country better. That's the foundation of who we are. But I'm not going to excel if that means hurting you in a physical way. Or on purpose, or by harm. I'm not going to do that. But they've lost that. And we've raised an entire generation of anarchists, whether it be, and I'm not, now here we go. I know tonight I'm going to get into the same issues I got with the Glenbeckians, okay? So all you people from Glenbeckia, take a pill. Think about what I'm saying. We're hypnotized. By individuals, we're hypnotized by celebrity politicians. We're hypnotized by radio people and certain big bloggers and big talkers. We're not thinking for ourselves. We're not listening to our inner self here, in other words. Who are you? I don't think half of us even know anymore. What does it mean to be an American? Do we want the form of government changed? Of course not. I love this republic. I love this constitution. Do I want all 435 of those people out? You're darn right I do. Because they're thieves, liars, and crooks. But I will work within the realm of the constitution to see that it is done. And the remedies are there. And Mike, you are absolutely right. No consequences, no accountability. Because I bet if we go back into this man's background, who raised him? Do we know yet? Has any of his relatives come forth? Now I'm going to get into trouble. Deal with it. This goes back to a time where our nation, that's why I chose Age of Innocence, End of Innocence by Don Henley. If you read the words, stands the part about Ronald Reagan. If you read the words, it's what we want. The original video of this song is in black and white. When I wrote my blog last night, I thought of it in black and white. I actually visualized it in black and white. I want us to go backwards. I've said this before. In order to go forward, we have to go back. We're headlong off a cliff. We don't know where we're going. So now what happens? Well, we have a whole age of people in their 20s. They don't have a faith. They're searching. You will find, too, that those people in their 20s, once they reach their 40s, they start shopping for churches. This is very common. They're trying to find what their faith is, what they believe. They're searching for something greater than themselves. But right now, they're the most dangerous in a time when they demand instant gratification of what they want, and as Louis so said, selfishly. It's societal. There's no common social contract anymore. It's been dismissed and it's gone. My father and mother passed it to me. I unfortunately have not had children. But I know those like-minded of mine that do, people like me, have done so. God, family, country. What's the middle part of that? Family. We're raising a generation with no family. Now, my best friend is a single mother. She's a hell of a mother, raising a child who's a wonderful, wonderful boy. This does not go to all single mothers. I'm going to say it once and last. But I'm talking about a generation in this country of divorce, which is just too easy to attain. Marriage, which is jumped into for the hell of it because you want to see your picture on the Jumbotron at a stadium. Or do a flash mob wedding, which I saw over the weekend, and I could not believe my eyes. All has been made a joke. All has been dismissed. The foundation of our country, which is family, is gone. How many like him are out there? You know, Iggy had wrote about the the videos that she found, and so many of us did, and it was instantaneous, by the way, on Twitter. Oh, my God, we were searching like mad people. How many anarchist YouTube videos are there? Millions. Worse than him. Worse than what he said. And I wrote, too, that if this was a blip or an isolated case, I'd let it lay, but it's not. This is my concern, not vitriol, which is nothing more than a red herring to get you to be hypnotic Americans again. No. What is going on in our society that we're raising a culture of young people to not give a rat's butt? Not about their fellow man, fellow citizens, children? What is it? That they have the right, they feel, to walk up to United States Congresswoman, who by all measure and all account was probably one of the sweetest congresswomen ever to walk the halls. He had no right to do that. He had a right to address her. He had a right to show grievances. He had a right to maybe debate her, argue with her, sure. But he had no right to harm her. None. But he did. Mad men will exist in this world, in this country. That will never change, unfortunately. Because we have so dismissed evil, we have decided that we need to have a panacea. The nation has to, it's going to be a night of Rachel getting in trouble. The nation has to have a group cry, it seems. Did you know her? Did you? No. I feel badly that it happened, but I'm not flat out fall out on the floor over it. I'm being brutally honest tonight. Because someone has to be. This hand-wringing has to stop. What happened, and if you all want to know, check my Twitter stream. Within 5 minutes of this event, I was called every word under the sun by the left. I got nailed. F-bomb to the max. And then to read a diarist on the Daily Coast, write, "Happy now, Sarah Palin," or something to that effect. Set the world on Twitter afire. And the left tried to drag us into their mess, didn't they? Oh, they sure did. But yet, I was proud of those of us conservatives. We didn't back down. We stood firm. We said, this person, Laufer, however you say his dang name, evil scumbag in jail now, should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. But this is not the way we do business in the United States of America, political, social, cultural. We don't do it. We don't raise arms against each other. They tried for hours. It didn't work. What happened? What's the change? We've gone too far. Not us. Not them. Events. We are, I would say, 2 minutes to midnight of a full-blown civil war in this country. And it won't be the last.
I don't think it's going to be long.
I don't either. To blame the Tea Party.
Especially if they pass amnesty.
Felix, great point. Anarchism is cool to the younger generation.
Yep.
And,
exactly.
You know, that is a great point. And that is exact now. And listen, it is to me a new phenomenon. I've studied culture and society and politics for now 35 years. There have been incidences in the past, but not to this extent. And I think if we look back in our history, we can peg the times. There's a decline all across the board in common decency. Now, don't lecture me. Don't tell me to pipe down, back off, calm down, stop the vitriol. Not going to happen. In fact, do you know what happened?
It's going to make it worse.
It is worse. It is to the point of no return. No matter what you hear Congress say, bokaka.
Yep.
I will not accept it. You know, I talked about Governor Palin a few weeks ago. If anything, people on the left, you turned, I'd say, a third of the conservatives who were against her now for her. Keep it up. You'll make her president within a year. Keep it up. To say that Governor Palin wanted this to happen, or any member of the Tea Party, is not just irresponsible. It's out and out evil, and you know it. But in days past, you would have gotten away with it. I'd say as early as maybe 2 to 3 years ago, you would have pushed a lot of people away from their keyboards, apologizing, going, oh, you're right. We need to join together and tone down. Oh, we're not toning down a damn thing. If anything, our steel and our spine got firmer. There's been an absolute change in this country. We are antebellum. We are pre-Civil War. Now, we can say in one instance it's a good thing or it's a bad thing. What does that mean, pre-Civil War? Well, does it mean we take up muskets? Nope. Does it mean we're going to have a political Civil War? Yes. And it's time that we do. don't tell me to shut up ever. Or the worst thing you can tell me is to calm down. I'll politically punch you back in the face. But the media thinks that by consistently bombarding you with the tales of emotion, it's going to make you change and fall back under their fountainhead spell. No. We stood up and we fought back. Tea Party members said appropriate comments and said, we are not going to stop our agenda. Congress is wrong. Obama is wrong. Just because this tragedy occurred does not mean that we stop. Nor will my rhetoric stop. I still believe and will forever believe that Barack Obama should be impeached. Sorry. Now more than ever, to be quite honest. If you look back at a common cause of the angst to this nation right now, who is it? John Boehner was absolutely perfect in his statement. So we will continue on. I am disappointed, to be quite honest, that the House has canceled all things for the week. And to be brutally honest with some of you, oh boy, this is not going to sound classy now, but I'm going to say it. I think it's because they're waiting to see what happens with Congressman Gifford. Congresswoman, pardon me. They should not be stopping business for the week. That's absolutely ridiculous. The government moves on. It has to. It's who we are. Obama was horrible yesterday. He's the worst in a crisis. And Nancy Pelosi, oh, that woman. You know, thank the Lord. Her reaction was so shaken. She didn't know what to do. And it took her hours before. My big question all day yesterday was, where's Nancy? You heard from every Republican leader. No Harry Reid, no Nancy Pelosi. Look, where the hell is she? When she shows up finally, she doesn't even know what to do. Why did this happen? Why is Congress so upset? Why aren't they upset when 14 people are murdered by gang people from coming over from Mexico? That might sound cold. But boy, oh boy, if the same resources used today were used to crush illegal immigration, or indeed very well the enemy, maybe we wouldn't be in half of the mess we're in today. I understand. It was an attempted assassination of a congressperson. It does not stand. And an assassination, or they're saying now murder, first-degree murder, of Judge Roll. Flags will be at half-staff on the House side tomorrow, and there will be a moment of silence directed by Barack Obama at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, if you're so inclined to acknowledge it. This nation, the first thing it did, and I saw it in the millions, to be quite honest, was to pray. Because we're American. We don't see it right and left at a moment like this. Ah, but who did? The left. And they came after you and they blamed you, and they blamed some of us in particular. Until the blowback began to happen. You didn't back down. So here's the left, MSNBC. MSNBC, the only one I'll leave out of it for the vitriol part is Maddow. The rest of them, boy, they went after you like you actually loaded that weapon and pulled the trigger. Then something I did never thought I'd see occurred last night between the hours of 8 and 9 p.m. Keith Olbermann apologized.
Whoa.
He apologized, Mel, for his part in any vitriol he had. Now, that lasted a mere 12 hours, as if you check his Twitter stream, he's right back at it again. If the left has vitriol, it's righteous. If the right has it, it's hate. You're never going to be able to defeat that. The only way you're going to be able to do it is by doing the class that I just was shown yesterday and saw yesterday. Your outrage at who did it, your acknowledgement that evil exists, you stood up for your right for free speech, you stood up for the freedoms that we have guaranteed in the Constitution, you demanded that this man be, you know, given the full justice under the laws of the United States, and you said you're not going to back down. That's exactly what an American would say. Don't worry about what the foreign press is saying. Right away, taking the cues from the left wing, Americans question right wing vitriol. Would you stop it? No, we're not. The media wants you to do it. They want you in a hypnotic state so that they can control you. Because over the past couple of years, they've lost control. We've taken over the media. We published the man's name before they did. We got information out there once again before they did. Shepard Smith needs to just please stop. He's an embarrassment. Now, today, Sheriff Gipstick continued his nonsense, and he should actually be forced to resign. America has entered, you know, America has always been innocent to the ways of the world. I have a friend on Twitter. This person lives in Africa, and she DM'd me, and she said to me, why do Americans get so upset? You people need to calm down. This happens here every day. I told her it's because we're American, and we don't accept it. But you're right. Americans are innocent. And that can be a good thing and a bad thing. We're innocent in the ways of evil. We don't believe it. We've never truly been attacked. Yes, 9/11, of course. Yes, Pearl Harbor. But have you had bombs flying into your state every day? No. Have you had your cities leveled during wars such as Germany and France and World War I, France, and all Britain and London? No, you don't know what it's like. You see war from a distance. You see evil from a distance. You've been told for so long that evil is just something man made up, that Satan doesn't really exist, which, by the way, is his greatest weapon. And unfortunately now, a generation is growing up that believes that to be true. So they want answers. Why? Why did he do it? He has free will. He chose it. It's not because of a Twinkie or a talk show host or a blog or a website. It's because he was mentally sick. His mind was miswired. And he wanted, sadly, quite sadly, 15 minutes of fame. This is not the first time Congress has been attacked. I think it was 1954 when that witch, she wanted Puerto Rico freed. Carter ended up, what do you call it now? Letting her go, pardoning her. Remember that? They shot up 5 or 6 members of Congress. Bullet hole is still in the desk. It was horrible. And then since then, it was 1978. I will never forget that. When the congressman was shot down in Jonestown, everybody, it was on TV. Never will I forget that moment. So when a congressperson is shot, absolutely it's news. And it's horrible. And it's unacceptable. But trying to relay that or explain that to somebody who lives in a war zone is very difficult when they see their governments taken over by coups every, you know, I say this dramatically, but every week, every month, every year, where they are almost immune to it. They are desensitized to it. I said that that's what makes us different. The greatest moment in our history ever and will ever be was when John Adams was inaugurated, because the Constitution worked, because people accepted it. The Supreme Court doesn't have an army. We accept the rules. And if we don't like it, we work to change it within the Constitution. But that's starting to fade. And that's what I meant. It's the end of innocence. We are now at an age where we are going to have to stand up and do something in a two-pronged way. Continue our fight. Continue our want of political revolution. Emphasis on political, which I have always done since Obama was inaugurated. But we also need to address this growing anarchist out there who has nothing, who lives in utter darkness. They have no family. They have friends that dismiss him. They have friends who mock him. So he sits there, or maybe even she. And they don't like the government. He said, Mel, I don't trust government and I don't trust God. Well, I don't trust government, but like I said, I don't want to change its form. I do trust God. God, family, country. We have no common foundation anymore as a nation. Because the one side wants to fundamentally change the form of government. They've said it. How do you defend against that? If some members of Congress and some in the media have said the Constitution is outdated, But how do you change that then? How do you fight against that? The Constitution is outdated. No. The Constitution is our secular, emphasis on secular, sacred document. It's because of that people around the world look when we have a new inauguration of a president. And literally they will say to themselves, wow. They've been doing this for 200 plus years and never a shot. Doesn't mean we liked it when Obama was inaugurated. Remember, we all went into a week of mourning. I wore black. It was not good. But we vowed from that day that we would work to politically remove him. But now there are some who have decided, and don't think it's just on the radical anarchist side, but remember, politics is not linear, it's circular. So when you have that far, 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 far fascist right part meeting the far, 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 far communist right part, the thing they share is a violent overthrow of the form of government. No. And that is what the conservative movement is not about, a violent overthrow of the form of government. We are for revolution. And I'm not going to stop using words because other people ascribe different definitions to them. No. Then we have Sheriff Dipstick. We have a clip mail. Megyn Kelly did a pretty good interview, although she was a little light on him. But he very well lays out what you're going to hear all week long.
Okay, here we go. Here's Sheriff Dupnick and Megyn Kelly. What did you call him? Dipstick? Sheriff Dipstick.
Sheriff Dipstick.
Trying to do. And the sheriff joins me now. Sheriff, thank you for waiting. I'm sure you heard that emotional interview with little Christina's father, John, and I'm sure it's just one of many encounters that you've heard with parents and with loved ones of the victims of this tragedy. I appreciate you giving us your time. It was a very, very busy day for you as well and for your investigators. I want to start with you on the indictment, on the criminal complaint that they just made public against this Jared Lochner, talking about a possible assassination attempt and the letter that was found inside the safe in his room. Can you tell us anything about that specific letter, Sheriff?
Yes, I can. It was a letter, I'm just going to do it in generalities, wherein he indicated that he was going to kill that bleeping lady.
It's clear to you that Gabrielle Giffords was his target for whatever reason.
There's no doubt about it. We've done enough investigation in conjunction with the FBI that there's no doubt in our mind that this was an act of a single, very troubled individual.
Sheriff, why? Sheriff, I mean, I almost feel silly asking the question, you know, because, as I said, who can explain the mind of somebody like this? But was there something about Congresswoman Giffords, as far as your investigation shows, that set him off?
There are a whole lot of people in this country that are very angry at the politics of people like Gabrielle. There was a lot of vitriolic statements made night and day on radio and TV about her support of health care, about her support of some of the other things. And some of the vitriol got very, very, a lot of people agitated. But you took the words out of my mouth. You know, you're talking about irrational behavior here, and there's no way that I know of that you can rationalize irrational behavior.
Right. I want to ask you about that because that's something you've mentioned the past couple of days. And I just want to ask you whether there is anything you've uncovered in your investigation so far that suggests this suspected killer was listening to radio or watching television and in any way inspired by what he heard or saw.
Well, I know that there had been some contact with Gabrielle Giffords in the past. We have, as a matter of fact, a letter from her that was dated in 2007, where I don't know what prompted that particular letter, but she had agreed and invited him to a similar event back in 2007, so there is some history.
Right. He had, according to the criminal complaint, he had shown up at one of her Congress on the Corners events, and then there was a letter following up, I guess, in response to that, or there was some correspondence about it. But what I'm wondering is, do you have reason to believe that this particular suspected killer was taking in information or was in any way influenced by the vitriol or the rhetoric that you're referring to that, you know, has been out on the airwaves?
If your question is specific, I have to be specific and say I don't have that information yet. The investigation is in its very initial phases. But my belief, and I've been watching what's been going on in this country for the last 75 years, and I've been a police officer for over 50 years. There's no doubt in my mind that when a number of people, night and day, try to inflame the public, that there's going to be some consequences from doing that, and I think it's irresponsible to do that.
Is that, Sheriff, just, it sounds like you're being very honest, but that's just your speculation, and that's not anything that's fact-based at this point.
That's my opinion, period.
And, you know, we've had some people question whether that is something you should be sharing now because tempers are already inflamed. People are upset about what's happened. The grieving families are still mourning. The bodies have yet to be buried. And is it the time, really, to be injecting speculative opinion like that into this case by somebody like yourself, the sheriff?
Well, I think difference of opinion is what makes the world go round and round. But I think it's irresponsible for us not at some point to address this kind of behavior and try to put a stop to it. There's no doubt in my mind that there are consequences to this kind of behavior. When people, allegedly credible people who get up and in front of cameras and microphones and say things that are not true and try to inflame the public, when millions of dollars are filtered into this country to buy very vitriolic ads and they don't have to be identified, the countries that they're coming from or the people who are donating them, I think it's time that we take a look at it. I think free speech is free speech, but it's not without consequences.
And with respect, Sheriff, I know that you're a Democrat and you ran for office as a Democrat, and I just want to press you on that a little, because I'm sure some of our viewers are asking themselves why you are putting a political spin on this when they may be asking why you, the sheriff, aren't just focused on the facts, on uncovering the facts.
Well, I think that it's more than just a political spin. I'm not sure that it really has anything to do with politics. You know, I grew up in a country that was totally different from the country that we have today. We didn't have this kind of nonsense going on, and it used to be that politicians from different parties could sit down, forget about their ideology, and work on the country's problems. We don't see that happening today. As a matter of fact, we see just the opposite. We see one party trying to block the attempts of another party to make this a better country. And I think that it's time that we as a country need to look into our souls and into our hearts and say, is what we're doing really in the best interest of this country, or is there something better that we can do?
And that's a fair point. You know, I mean, separate and apart from what we saw in Arizona yesterday, I mean, you could make the argument that we just need to come together as a country. But I think, you know, people are looking at what happened in Tucson, and what you seem to be telling us, what the feds seem to be telling us, is we're dealing with, and I don't use this term legally, I'm not trying to say anything about how this is going to plead out in a courtroom, some sort of madmen. You know, just like we've had in the past, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you know, the assassination of Martin Luther King, and you refer to a time gone by, there were madmen then, there are madmen now. And it just, you know, is it really the place of a sheriff to stir the pot on either side of the political aisle?
Well, I guess that's for the listeners to decide.
That's fair enough, sir. I appreciate that answer.
Dipstick. Yes. In his press conference yesterday, the moment he said Arizona had become the mecca for prejudice and bigotry, I said it's over. That's it. All this lovey-dovey stuff, it's over. It set the right on fire, and it should have. But, Mal, listen to that, what he said. Arizona has become mecca. Whoa, wait a minute now. Where's the Islamists on
that? Is he insulting the Muslims? Yeah.
Yeah. Where's Cal? I mean, you're right. Yeah, he inflamed the Muslim world with that. You see how ridiculous this has become? We're dismissing it. I am going to simply, I am not going to just ignore it. I will defend it and respond against every single attack from the left from this point on. I'm done with it. They can rot. And if that's vitriol, I don't care. The difference between me and Loeffner is I'm not taking Blackie, as I call her, and going around and shooting people because they disagree with me. But that does not mean that I'm not going to attend a town hall meeting and show my discontent. It's my right. There is right and there is wrong. There is evil and there is good. America, get over it. You want talk about vitriol. Well, and this will help in case you're defending against any MSNBC socialists who are now out there amassed, by the way. So be prepared. If you are big in the social networking, as some of us are, they're coming after you. If you've got conservative anywhere in your profile, they're coming after you. So just be forewarned. I want you to refer them to Ed Schultz, who has his, quote, psycho talk segment every night on his show, who calls Rush Limbaugh drugster, who calls Republicans bastards, who says we're evil and we hate, night after night after night after night, who wants to take us down. Keith Olbermann, well, that's easy. You can go back through anything he's ever said. And his worst person in the world every night of the week. Then that old fart liberal, Mike Malone. You want to talk about somebody who spews hate? Talk about him. Or Mike Malloy, whatever his name is. He is one of the worst. When have you ever heard anybody on the right, and I'm being objective because you know I'm not into big talkers, call for an overthrow of the government, the form of government? Have you ever heard anyone? No. We revere our government's foundations, our Constitution. But you know, Mel, the minute that that started happening, and I'm going to give credit where it's due because I always do, it was when Mark Levin wrote Liberty and Tyranny in combination with our man of the year, who Mel and I picked first, by the way, and we're very proud of that, Rick Santelli. It awakened a whole new generation of Americans. It was as if our DNA got turned on. We're like, I am a daughter of the revolution or a son of the revolution. It is mine, and I'm going to defend it. I'm going to learn about it, and I will also give credit to Mr. Beck and his little chalk ways up until he's lost his mind now. But we learned more. We awakened more. We're not standing down, and the left doesn't understand it. We need to be put in our place, said they last night and all today. We need to tone down our vitriol. Those are cue words to tell you to shut up. But they're not, because they've got righteous indignation on their side. Because what they say matters. They feel it, don't you know? They feel bad. They feel for people. The only emotion I'm very good at is anger, and I use anger to motivate myself. And believe me, I've been very motivated the past 24 hours. But I'm very British with my emotions. I'm not like this new generation where everybody has to show up with candles and have this group cry over people they don't know. I think it's just a way, Mel, for the public to take personal issues and emote. I really do. I wrote in my blog, Mel, that it was like Diana. That massive emotional turnout was really bizarre. But there seems to be a bit of a difference I'm noticing. Not a lot of people are doing it. You know, the media has descended upon Tucson, as, of course, the roaches always do. But there's not a lot of that. What's different? We're different. Doesn't mean we don't care and pray and hope for the very best for all the victims. But the stories do matter because they're Americans. not because they're one side or the other. And the story that I think touched most people's hearts was the 9-year-old little girl, I believe her name is Christine or Christina Green, who simply wanted to go to see how government worked. A neighbor had taken her because she had just been elected student council president of her class. That offends me. And I'm going to say this in a very liberal, touchy-feely way. It would be a very nice thing, I think, if Speaker Boehner and Leader Pelosi were to go to this child's school after things settle down a little bit and maybe tell them how Congress works. Bring Harry Reid and Leader McDonnell and show them. I think it would be great. Or invite them to the Capitol. But those are the things that we do as Americans. But something has changed. And all night long, I sat there and I kept saying to myself, what is different? You know, there would have been a time where Americans would have froze and this introspection would have taken place. But instead, it's more been like an explosion. We didn't shut up. We shouted louder. Yes, antebellum. Yes, 2 minutes, I believe, to a political civil war. And no amount of talking us down is going to matter. There are moments in history that trigger major events. World War One, I believe it was the shooting. Was it the, who got shot, Neil? Just blew right in and out of my mind. Wasn't an ambassador, was it a, over there in Australia or Austria that was the trigger of World War One? Remember that?
Oh yeah, it was. Kaiser Wilhelm's, I think, cousin or brother.
That's it, yes. And we look to certain moments in history, and they are the trigger. You know, you got Sumter, all of that. We can look at those, and those that know history understand this, where you'll get a question, what was the trigger of the Civil War or whatever, and those are the moments. But if you look back, there's a building and a building and a building and building up. Well, this is it. I've often said and will always believe that World War II was caused by the end of World War I. Did Hitler get influenced by right-wing people? No. It was because of his experiences. And he was an evil bastard. He was mentally deranged. He came from a home that was screwed up beyond screwed up. Think psycho times 10. And it exploded. And he wanted it, and he wanted it now. The difference is, he used the political thing. He used the political ways before him to make it happen. He was the most dangerous of all. Nobody can make you do something. I read everything. I read far right. I read far left. I suggest from now on you do too. We're at a point, and we've tried. We've tried. You know, there's reasons why we bring you so many different stories from across the globe. From the economy to foreign affairs, because we're looking ahead and we see what's coming. Your nation is not immune. The United States of America is not immune to evil. Sometimes, as my friend from Africa said, America, get over it. There are men that will do evil every year, every time, all the time. How you react to that sets you apart from the rest of the world. And the rest of the world looks at us and they say, will their constitution hold? As if it's an experiment to them. Well, of course it will. But my concern, as I stated earlier, is I think that that's hanging by a thread. Because those are political opponents on the left want the form of government changed. So don't tell me not to be vitriolic, which, of course, male is the new gravitas. It's the word that they keep throwing out there. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, geez, Geraldo's on again. This poor guy almost blew himself a gasket yesterday. And they're bringing out quotes from what all the righties have said, all of us in the Constitution movement, this, that, and the other. Oh, but do you remember what Barack Obama said? I believe it was the President of the United States that said we'll have hand-to-hand combat. Uh-oh. Who's been more vitriolic than Barack Obama? Nobody. We'll take them down. We'll fight them to the mat. We'll have hand-to-hand combat. But it's the Tea Party and Rush Limbaugh's fault? It's nobody's fault. It's not Oberman's fault. It's not Ed Schultz's fault. It's not Rush's fault. It's not our fault. It's Jared Lochner's fault. So, America, stop twisting yourselves into knots. And for us, and I say the Constitution movement and the protection of the form of government we hold dear, there will be choices you will have to make. And you might not sound politically correct. And for those that are new to this movement, this is probably one of those times where you're saying, what did I get myself into? We have said this is not for the weak over and over and over again. I'm going to suggest to you that you get behind us. You watch and you learn. But I'm not going to stand next to somebody who tells me I need to calm down, who I need to compromise with. There is no compromise. But you watch what happens on Capitol Hill. When tonight mail I read, Congressman Mahoney, here she comes again, with a new gun control bill. Now, look, or McCarthy, pardon me, Congressman Carolyn McCarthy. Quote, my staff is working and looking at the different legislation fixes that we might be able to do and we might be able to introduce as early as tomorrow. Why? Is that your idea of calming things down? Cracking upon, now here's the state of Arizona. Oh, before I get into that, kudos to Governor Brewer. The woman is pure class through and through. Damn, I would. You know, if somebody, now, I'd like her to run. I'd vote for her for president in a second. She was amazing yesterday. And she will give her state on the state address tomorrow night as scheduled. Good for her. And that's her friend fighting for her life in the hospital. But her duties go on. Attention, Congress. But anyway, back to this. This is what the left does. They don't give a damn about what's happened. They're going to use the emotion and momentum that they see. And out of pure emotion, like they've done with health care, like they're going to do. You watch what happens now, too, with immigration. You watch GOP. Don't think we're going to back down. Don't you be trying to push some damn Dream Act through now. You've got the people of Arizona, probably a microcosm of what's going on in this country, 50-50 divided right down the middle. Oh, yeah, they're going to tell pollsters and people that interview them, oh, we need to calm it down, bullcrap. I want Americans to start saying what they say in the privacy of their living rooms. It's time. So now here come the libs. And they're going to come and they're going to take and they're going to try and push more gun control on Arizona. Because that's how Arizona's going to take it. They're going to take it as a personal affront. Look, these are states' issues, and the Supreme Court has already ruled it is our right to bear arms. Doesn't matter. They use emotion, feelings, how you feel about it, not rational thinking. Constitution, please, don't you know? It's living and breathing. It blows its nose during a crisis. It's sitting there and it's saying, hey, mold me, change me, love me, hug me. Uh-huh. All of you probably have guns. Maybe of you, some of you can see them laying before you. Is that gun getting up, running around, and automatically shooting things? No, of course not. It is a weapon. It is a tool. You have a choice. Those of us who own guns, respect the weapon and know the consequences when you pull the trigger. Not according to the left. According to the left, you are not capable of making that decision. So we'll take it for you. So their solution is to force more upon you. More regulation. The one thing, the very thing, that those of us in the Constitution Party, those of you that are in Tea Party organizations are fighting against. More government control. Their solution is to give you more government control. Carolyn McCarthy, I realize, by the way, she comes out of a personal tragedy. I believe her husband was fatally shot, and this is why she does what she does, and we're all products of our experiences. This isn't what to do. But there will be calls, as there always is, for gun control. John Kyle, I think we can make a deal with Barack Obama on taxes. GOP, we need to work more. We need to calm it down. We need to be more civil. Let's be more bipartisan. Now, is that going to calm you down or ratchet you up? They're doing the exact opposite of what they have to do. Now, we all know this isn't going to last, right? We all know that. Within, I think, this new era of bipartisanship hugging will last probably a few days. And you know who the first person will be that breaks it? Barack Obama. He can't help it. He can't control himself. No, I agree with Felix, Mel, as he said in the chat room. He can see one day. I can see Monday. The Congress needs to, quote, get back to work. The beat goes on. We don't need wall-to-wall coverage of this anymore. Because I guarantee you, if this was an illegal that shot her, it would still have been the right's fault. instead of touching stories about the victims, it would have been touching stories about the illegal and his frustrations. Decisions, introspection have got to be done. We're at a time where we can take it no more. And in the words of Bush, and I know someone that like it, but I know you're thinking it, so I'll say it, it's us versus them. The left wants to change our form of government. We want to keep the form of government, but change those within it to respect the foundational form of our government. Now you've got the mushy middle. We all know they've been blowing their nose for 2 days now, crying, wondering if they were wrong to go to a rally or an event. And when they see over and over pictures of Sarah Palin with that ad with the bullseye, whatever, my goodness, people. I've seen worse political ads. In our history, we've had things like, don't tread on me. Give me liberty or give me death. No justice, no peace. Were those too vitriolic? We can go through decades of protesting. They were words, catchphrases, slogans to express our frustration. Of course, in the revolution, it was for war. But how many of you right now have a gas and swag for you? Don't tread on me. What does it mean? Don't tread on me or I will write a nasty letter? What do you mean by don't tread on me? I think now, too, it's coming down to certain people having to take a stand and put their money where their mouth is. A lot of people like to be behind the keyboard, smacking things out. Put your name to it. Take a stand. It's just the truth. And right before this tragedy occurred in Tucson, we all read on the internet that Barack Obama is considering, through the FEC, a kill switch for the internet. And, you know, now, I don't believe in coincidences. There are many conspiracy theories abounding. Was this Lochner used by somebody? We don't know. I don't know. But here's Obama waiting for a chance to shut you down. And the media. And don't even go with Fox News. They are becoming nothing more than MSNBC Lite with their weeping and red eyes and maybe we need to take a look at what people say. They all need to stop it. Are they going to shut down the website? They're already looking through Twitter. Are they going to tell Twitter to suspend you because you dare say that in your beliefs you believe Barack Obama was not a citizen? I'm waiting for it. Facebook. Do you know that the woman from Facebook now, she was on CNN today. I think CNN. I'm getting my news people mixed up. Could have been Fox. She said yesterday there were 3 million status messages dedicated to the event of yesterday in Tucson. Now, in comparison, there were only 2 million on the day Obama was inaugurated. Now, that might not seem to be like a big deal, believe me, it's a big deal. And she said it was equal. Some wanted gun control, some wanted rhetoric to stop, while others, us, were fighting not against all of that. She said it was unprecedented. She had never seen such a thing. And you know, kudos to Facebook, because they kept up with it. There were no issues with it yesterday. But then, Mal, first time MySpace gets any credit, it's because this moron had a blog over there. That's where his blog was, MySpace, of all people. Jesus. Do you know how many blogs I read like his? YouTube's I've seen like his. YouTube. YouTube has not taken down his videos. Well, go through YouTube sometime if you're bored. There, I can lead you to many anarchists. A lot of them like to do it in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
You got something to say, say it. I'm sorry to be so blunt. But I think the right needs to hear more blunt talk and less caveats, less sunshine, you know, less coddling. I was happily impressed yesterday that most did not back down, although there were a few that I was shocked to see say maybe we should back down our talk a little bit.
Maybe.
I'm not backing down at all. In fact, I'm revigorated. Now, the only news on Congressman Gifford, now when they say that she's communicating, she squeezed a hand and held up two fingers. So, and she's in a medically induced coma, and that's because that's the body's best way of healing itself. You know, they need to slow her metabolism down. It's kind of like, you know, isn't it putting a body in hibernation almost? Isn't it like, you know, let the body heal? We don't know what will happen with her care, her outcome. We can only continue to pray that she does. And remember, there were more victims, and six people died, including Judge Roll, which was just a shock. He was a good judge. Damn fine judge. And Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, did come out and say, no. No. Because if we lose this, if we lose the respect for the law, then you know what? As I said, we've lost the country. But I'm sorry. I think we have. I will defend the Constitution of the United States. But I will not politically defend any member of Congress. I still believe they all need to go. In particular, the executive branch, Barack Obama. His policies continue. Even though all of this is happening, he keeps on going. You know where Hillary Clinton is today? While all of you were busy with the Tucson situation, Hillary Clinton is over in the Middle East. She's in Abu Dhabi. What does she do? Well, she decides to come out and blast Israel in Abu Dhabi. You see, because Israel decided to demolish some East Jerusalem settlements, old buildings, that kind of thing, because they want to rebuild their city of Jerusalem. their right, their city, their land. Hillary didn't like it. Hillary said this disturbing development undermines peace efforts to achieve the two-state solution. Give that up, please. In particular, this move contradicts the logic of a reasonable and necessary agreement between the parties on the status of Jerusalem.
Wow.
Should I calm down my vitriol on that? What is she saying? That if Barack Obama wants Jerusalem divided, and he stands with the Palestinians on that. Remember your Clintonology and parsing the sentences. The Ivory Coast is still blowing up. Things are still blowing up in Afghanistan and Iraq. Oh, Mal, I saw Mitt Romney.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He's in Afghanistan. He's on his way. He's going to meet with Karzai and Peaches. Then he's going to go to Jordan, first Israel and Jordan.
Boy, you know, that's a hell of a long ways to go just for a cup of tea. Shit. I couldn't help it.
That's all right. The beat goes on. So while all this is happening and the Americans, like I've always said, that Lord of the Rings eye, the eye is focused over there and it's dark over on the other side. Keep an eye on the Sudan. The Sudan for the first time is voting and they will vote on a referendum all week. What is the referendum? To divide Sudan into the north and the south and to basically create a new country. A week-long referendum. By the way, southern Sudan is rich in oil. God knows what else. Who's been very quiet? The Muslims. What did the Muslims see? What did they see in Tucson? Access. How easy it would be. Yet we do nothing to stop them. We're more worried about the whys of a madman, an anarchist. We live in a free society. We will not and never, and I swear to you, government, don't even try it, to shut down the speech of individuals. It is the speech that we most disagree with, is the speech that we most need to protect. Because they'll come after you next. I watch the way our country handles things. And you know what's amazing to me, Mel? In this society where we all have guns, why don't things like this happen more often? Because of the social contract we have. So from time to time, unfortunately, sadly, and tragically, you're going to have a Columbine. The school there in West Virginia, I forgot the name of the school.
No, Colorado. Columbine, that's the name of the town, too.
Right, but the college in West Virginia where they had the shooting.
Oh, Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, that's it. You mean you're going to have situations like that in this country that happen. And it's gone back to time immemorial. So, you know, this it just happens from time to time. But you can't change who we are, and you're not going to stop us talking. So you can take it. In the spirit of vitriol, you can take your vitriol and shove it. Because I'll just vitriol more. And all this nonsense with the House members participating in this huge conference call. You know, what was it, Rush Limbaugh? Symbolism over substance, he used to say years and years ago. what it is. And Boehner and Cantor and Felix, I agree with your initial assessment. Enough. You take your day, you do what you got to do, excuse the Arizona delegation if they need or want to be at home, and of course her friends. You know, that's another thing that just kills me. Do you ever notice all of a sudden somebody of importance has about 15,000 friends?
Yeah.
Oh, she's a real good friend.
I don't think she would know that many people, but not personally, anyway.
Exactly. I mean, words, yes, they matter, but they've been redefined into things I don't even understand. So reclaim the words. Reclaim the definitions of the words. Don't let the left shut you up. And I'm sorry to say, some of people I have seen on the conservative side are starting to get all wobbly on me. Don't do that. Stand up to the bombastic ego of the left. Call them out on it. But don't harp on it day after day. Give your evidence and move on and continue to force our Congress now to do what we want them to do. You don't come to a stop because something happens. It would be like It would be like if we're in this huge war, right, and this battle happens. Well, then we all need to stop fighting. And no, I'm not saying he was a part of, quote, the movement. But you get the analogy. No, you keep pushing forward. Don't let the left use this to shut you up and push you back. And don't you dare let the GOP use this. So they can sit there and now come out and say, well, we need to work better with our Democrat partners. Not when I read that economists are starting to see the U.S. decline and China rise. Well, we knew that.
Hey, you see the big deal about the how there are 103,000 jobs created in December, and what they're not telling anybody is that those were all temporary jobs, you know?
Oh, I know. And
I mean, they're making a big deal out of it. And then come to find out on Friday on Market Watch when I first logged on to it, Friday morning, they said that holiday sales was a lot less than last year, and that unemployment is actually around 19.7%.
Right, the real number, right.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, of course it was. And I remember before Christmas was over, you know, or right after, holiday sales, greatest than they've ever been. We all know it's revised. We all know the crap. You go from 294,000 jobs created, which ADP, like we should believe that, to like now just said, was 104, 109, or whatever the hell it was, which is a lie.
Yeah, it wasn't very much, and that was, like I said, all temporary Christmas holiday jobs.
And all the people, well, the unemployment rate went down, yeah, because people all fell off the wall. Stop.
Yep.
This economy is probably in as worse shape as it was 2 years ago. It's stagnating. It's not doing a thing. And you're going to see a lot of selling off and a lot of buying because it's the end of the year. It was the end of the year. Now the beginning of the year. So people are making financial portfolio moves right now, adjusting what to do for the coming year with taxes and all of that. You'll see a sell-off come tax time to pay their tax bill. But you're also seeing, as we know, a shift to the east. It's not acceptable. But it's become acceptable. Now you have the Alaskan pipeline shut down. There's a leak and they got to go out and fix it. And it's a pretty significant shutdown for a while. With oil prices reaching $110 in the next few weeks, they predict. Middle of January, that makes sense. You know, all of this makes sense.
It's always during the time you need to eat. Always
sure.
Been that way. Always will be.
I mean, come on now. The IMF is screaming, time's a-wasting for deficit cuts. They want the United States to go into austerity. Are you kidding? We've told you it's not going to happen. Do they want a depression? Yeah. So Obama can come out with his FDR-style plan. And he's going to use what happened. All politicians do, left or right, Dem or Republican. And this is what we want to stop. Don't let your emotions dictate who... America, stop it. Your babies. It's time, like I said, you got to end the innocence and grow up. You're part of this global world, or globality, my new Bushism. You're part of it. But guess what? You're not the biggest chunk. You're not the biggest kid on the block anymore. And don't you think that Russia, China, Brazil, India are not going to use this and take this. When the United States is looking the other way, they're going to do what they have to do. They're not over there to make you feel better. They're over there to make their country strong. We cannot afford to stop in our tracks, and that is exactly what's happening. Exactly. Now, again, I'm sorry about Congresswoman Giffords, and I know it sounds cold, but we wish her well. We pray for her. Let's get this guy taken care of. And let's move on. It's what we have to do. Especially now in this time of political war. Don't think the left is stopping. Not for one damn minute. Now I'm reading this little thing right now. Yes, dated yesterday. Kyle optimistic Obama Republicans can compromise on taxes. Kyle said his party will work with Obama to find common ground on overhauling the U.S. tax system, including changes to corporate and individual rates. Oh, my God. Way to give him the issue. He won't. You think the Republican Congress will get credit for this? Oh, hell no. This is like handing a gift to the independent voter. Here's the GOP being Obama's Viagra, who, by the way, Obama's approval ratings, as I predicted, are well over now 50%. He's going to do a little mourning in chief kind of thing. It'll bump him up to 55. Give him some issues like this to call his own. He's reelected. As long as his approval rating is between 54 and 58%, in my opinion, he will be reelected president. I'm talking in political reality without emotion. You can go to other shows to find weepy things. I'm not weeping about this. I'm a political warrior. I see what's coming, and I want to stop it, and I can't. I can't. Because too many people have decided that they need to stop. Mr. Beck, so help me. You know, he's going to come out tomorrow. We all know this, don't we? Oh, have mercy, Lord Jesus. He will come out tomorrow, Mel, and I predict he will apologize for anything he's done to add to the vitriol of the country, and that we need to stop with the hatred. And we need to remember the rally that I still can't figure out, except Sarah Palin looked really good at. He will. He's going to be weepy, sitting in the leather chair. So for political rookies, I don't think you should watch tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to be a little too much. Rush Limbaugh won't. He won't. You know, I looked at the history of Congressman Giffords. Of course, now everybody just calls her Gabby. All of a sudden, she's Gabby to the world. Jeez, with the feelings. And she would be considered not just Blue Dog, well, stronger than Olympia Snow. She's one of those Democrats that, except for immigration, well, actually immigration she's pretty darn good on, except for health care, which she voted yes for, you probably vote for her. Pro-gun, pro-military. So here we go. What do? I don't know. Now you got the Fed, you got Holder in charge of this. And to the judge that's in charge of this case, gag order. I repeat, gag your attorneys. Gag law enforcement. Don't blow this case. Why? The defense attorney for Loeffner is, I believe her name is Judy Clark. She was the defense attorney for Ted Kaczynski. She was appointed by the court. You already know what's going to happen, don't you? You got the feds with their charges. Then the state goes after the feds. The guy is going to have so many charges. He's not going to go anywhere. But don't blow it, prosecution. Now, with Holder in charge, Mel, I think we know that this thing could probably get blown at any moment. This guy. And I will continue to be politically incorrect tonight when I say I wish they'd use the same vigor against the terrorists of this country.
Yeah, it's still pissing me off. He had, what, over 300 counts and only gave him 20 years?
I know. Well, absolutely ridiculous. Yes. I'm sorry, media. I'm sorry if the government doesn't get it. But we have lost trust in all of you. And it's a fact. But on the positive side, this is when a leader can emerge within the conservative movement. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Emerge. Take it away from Obama. Take it away from this inept, wussy, weepy Congress. Look for that. The one that's political savvy now on the conservative side, in a presidential year of running, which I consider now to be, is the one that will capitalize and see a void. If anything, the American people have no leadership. In times of grief or tragedy, the American people look at who? The president, right? That's what we do. Obama, comfort you. Bush was very good at it. Very, very good at it. Laura Bush was superb at it. But do you know today, if Bush was in the White House, Laura Bush would have been there? Laura Bush would have spoken, in particular to children, like she did after 9/11, not comparing the two, of course, but she was very good at that. And now in all seriousness, where was Michelle Obama today? Here's a 9-year-old child who lost her life to this idiot, moron, evil pig. Where was Michelle Obama today? Why wasn't she out there? This child was just voted a student council president or head of her class. So therefore, she's quite popular at her school. Why wasn't Michelle Obama saying something? She should have been. That's leadership. That is what this country craves right now. Leadership. We don't have any. When Nancy Pelosi takes 3 hours to make a comment, and they believe some symbolism of some kumbaya conference call, I mean, to me, now it's equivalent of the God Bless America on the steps of 9/11. I mean, come on, Ray, shut up. No. So I look for a leader from the conservative side. I have a feeling some are being 24-hour patient. But I know there's one out there itching, not only to defend herself, but to speak her mind. And I think you all know of whom I'm speaking. Tonight is the last night of Sarah Palin's reality show, which I'm taping right now. Thank you, DVR.
Yeah, they made a big deal about it last night that it wasn't going to, they don't expect it to be renewed for next season because they couldn't get word from TLC. And, oh, of course it's not going to be renewed because she's going to be running for office.
That's right, Mel. That's exactly
dumb
right.
Dumb bastard.
She used you, you dingbat. Like, come on. So I'll be anxious to see that a little bit when it's done.
Hey, can we have a little? We had a couple of bank closings Friday.
Sure.
One in Florida and one in Arizona. Regulators on Friday shuttered banks in Florida and Arizona, the first two closures of 2011. After 157 banks, I like the way they put this, succumbed last year to the struggling economy and mounting bad loans. The FDIC took over the First Commercial Bank of Florida based in Orlando with $598.5 million in assets and $529.6 million in deposits. And Legacy Bank, based in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is a pretty ritzy area, suburb of Phoenix, with $150.6 million in assets and $125.9 million in deposits. First Southern Bank, based in Boca Raton, agreed to assume the assets and deposits of First Commercial Bank of Florida. Enterprise Bank and Trust, based in St. Louis, is assuming the assets and deposits of Legacy Bank. Boy, St. Louis is expanding westward.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, the FDIC and First Southern Bank agreed to share losses on $484.3 million of First Commercial Bank of Florida's loans and other assets. The agency and Enterprise Bank and Trust are sharing losses on $119.8 million of Legacy Bank's assets. A failure of First Commercial Bank of Florida is expected to cost the FDIC fund $78 million. And that of Legacy Bank expected to cost $27.9 million. Florida has been the state hardest hit by bank closures, with 29 failing in the state last year. Other states that have been seen large numbers of failures are California and Illinois. They forgot one, Georgia. Arizona's catching up, though. 157 bank closures nationwide last year topped the 140 that were closed in 2009. It was the most in a year since the savings and loan crisis of 1992, which was the final year. In 2009, failures cost the insurance fund about $36 billion. The failures last year cost around $21 billion. Oh, that was 2009 failures cost $36 billion. Last year's was $21 billion. a lower price tag because the banks that failed in 2010 were on average smaller. 25 banks failed in 2008, the year of the financial crisis struck, but forced only three succumbed in 2007. The growing number of bank failures has sapped billions of dollars out of the FDIC fund. It fell into the red in 2009, and its deficit stood at $8 billion as of September 30th of last year. The number of banks on FDIC's confidential problem list jumped from 860 in the third quarter of last year, from 829 in the second quarter of last year. 860 troubled banks is the highest number since 93 during the savings and loan crisis. The FDIC expects the cost of resolving failed banks to total around $52 billion from 2010 through 2014. So I'm waiting. So we'll probably have to wait until April before we find out the fourth quarter of last year. See if they increased the number of failed banks.
Yeah. Well, Americans, Obama is eyeing an internet ID for you.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that. What are they going to do, put voice recognition in, or?
Obama is planning to hand the U.S. Commerce Department, authority over a forthcoming cybersecurity effort to create an Internet ID for Americans. It's, quote, the absolute perfect spot in the U.S. government to centralize efforts toward creating an identity ecosystem. Ooh, now it's an ecosystem. We're not talking about a national ID card. We are not talking about a government-controlled system.
Well, what's the FCC?
What we are talking about, that's what I think, about is enhancing online security and privacy and reducing and perhaps even eliminating the need to memorize a dozen passwords. All right. Through creation and use of a more trusted digital identity. What the hell? So what do they want to do? They want to have a stare with iris or a fingerprint? I don't want that on record. I'm telling you, the left bitched and moaned about Bush. This guy is taking and stealing our rights to a point of no return. Sorry. Civil War people. He is. You've got too much going on, Mel. With China now getting all this great economic news, going gangbusters. Trading wars looming. Brazil just on fire, literally, economically. And here's this guy, Obama, every day and every way taking away our rights. And of all places, where does he go? The internet. Because it's the freest exchange of ideas we have. This guy's lost it. He's lost it. He is a king. He is a mad king. Any president that comes out and says he's ready to have hand-to-hand combat, I'll never forget that day. And it raised no eyebrows except from us on the right. I have never heard a president say such things, probably except Lyndon Johnson, who often liked to battle Congress. No. Brazil is warning of a global trade war because of currency manipulation. Well, we're back to that again, aren't we? We got China and Russia. They want to change it and just dump the dollar altogether.
Yeah, they want to go. They want to back it with copper because they own most of the copper mines.
Sure, and we said here on the show that the renminbi, which is the name of the yuan, is based in copper. It's what it's made out of. It all makes sense. It's no conspiracy. It's a train of logic. Finance Minister Guido Mantega said Brazil was preparing to move to prevent further appreciation of its currency. He said his government would raise the issue at the World Trade Organization. Oh, not another one. Jeez. Why can't they just use internet? He said Brazil's trade with the U.S. had slipped from an annual surplus of $15 billion to a deficit of $6 billion because of U.S. efforts to revive its economy through their loose monetary policy. Well, don't tell that to Bernanke, or who's the other one? Geithner. Don't tell it to them. No, I realize some of us on the right, well, punch him back, stick it off, put it up to China. You have no leverage, you fool. It's like you're standing there in your underwear with a stick, figuratively, and China is fully armed, 15 feet tall with a bazooka, laughing at you.
No, it's still fighter jet.
Well, there you go, Mal.
Thanks to Bubba.
Yeah, somebody got that wrong out there. They said Reagan did it. Oh, O'Reilly. O'Reilly has Roseanne. Oh, I don't know if some of you. Roseanne, what's her
Clinton
face?
Did that in 96 to raise money for his campaign reelection.
Right. Roseanne Ball, right? O'Reilly's got this broad on there to interview her. Why? I don't know. And she blamed Reagan for selling technology to the Chinese. And do you know that O'Reilly didn't even correct her? He just let her go on. O'Reilly is another one. He has not just jumped the shark. This guy's done. With his, dismissing, the folks. If he says folks, I swear I'm going to break his hand. The folks. Oh, we here at the factor. The factor. Who is the factor? Is it an entity? Does it walk around? I mean, what is that with the third person stuff? That'd be like me and Mal going, well, the Patriot Hour thinks. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's insane, isn't it? So you're going to have really a pretty calm week ahead as far as legislation. They're just not going to do anything. There's no word out of the Senate. The Senate's been, Harry Reid and McConnell in particular, Mel, been pretty quiet. I haven't heard a thing really out of them. So what you thought would be the big health care week is not to be. And I think, like I said, I think they're waiting on the condition of Congressman Giffords. And, of course, we all pray she's well. But it's going to be a quiet week in Washington. I would look for the ever-ending debate because, you know, Mel, the cables are going to have to talk about something. So they're going to talk about you. How you react to it is key. All right? So just think about it. Look for the Sudan. Look at Israel, which is heating up. Follow Romney, who's making a little trippy poo, as I said, over there. Follow him, see what he's up to. He's meeting with the bigwigs. You know what that means. China's doing well economically. I would continue to focus on the Eurozone. Seems now male individual countries are now starting to stand up to the European Central Bank and the IMF. Little sovereignty problem? Interesting. But Africa's your key. Muslims are a little quiet. I don't know. Do they have a holiday coming up now? I'm not sure. I'm not big on the Islamic calendar. The Muzzies.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So it's January, and it's going to be pretty quiet. Pretty quiet week ahead, I think.
Yeah, well, gold is up $5, up to $13.74 an ounce. And we're gaining. Let's see. I take that back. Now we're losing against all the currencies.
Yeah, it's early.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it'll be up and down, but be safe, everybody out there in America land.
Yeah, and don't forget to join us Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. I just wanted a short science piece here. More than 30 years after NASA's Viking landers found no evidence for organic materials on Mars, scientists say a new experiment on Mars-like soils shows Viking did, in fact, hit pay dirt. The new study was prompted by the August 2008 discovery of powerful oxygen-busting compounds known as perchlorates at the landing site of another Mars probe called Phoenix. Scientists repeated a key Viking experiment using perchlorate-enhanced soil from Chile's Atacama Desert, which is considered one of the driest and most Mars-like places on Earth, and found telltale fingerprints of combusted organics, the same chemicals Viking scientists dismissed as contaminants from Earth. Contrary to 30 years of perceived wisdom, Viking did detect organic materials on Mars. Planetary scientist Christopher McKay with NASA's Ames Research Center in California told Discovery News, "It's like a 30-year-old case suddenly solved with new facts." Well, it goes with the same thing that if the Viking team had said, well, maybe there's perchlorate in the soil, everybody would have said they're crazy. Why would there be perchlorates in the soil? It was only by having it pushed on us by Phoenix where we had no alternative but to conclude that there was perchlorate in the soil. Once you realize it's there, then everything makes sense, McKay added. The Viking team's verdict that Mars lacked organics was the linchpin argument against another Viking experiment that looked for signs of microbial life in the experiment. A bit of nutrient-laced water was added to a sample of Martian soil. The air above the soil was then monitored for signs that the nutrients had been metabolized. The instrument detected tracer gases the first time the experiment was done, but subsequent runs did not. The results were considered inconclusive and remain contested. New evidence for organics on Mars does not mean Viking found life, cautions McKay. Finding organics is not evidence of life or evidence of past life. It's just evidence for organics, he said. But if NASA had realized there were organics on Mars, there might not have been a 20-year hiatus in sending landers for follow-up studies, said Rafael Navarro-Gonzalez. The Institute of Nuclear Science at the National Autonomous University in Mexico. We might have had continuing missions, Gonzalez told Discovery News. NASA plans to launch a follow-up mission to look for organics on Mars in November. There you go, a little space news for you. Thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. And remember, Wednesday night, we'll be back at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And grab a muzzy and have them sprayed or neutered and enjoy your week. You got anything else, Rachel? She's all done.
Bye,
everybody. Place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust.